I've been all across this country.
Okie dokie, folks, and welcome back to Monday Night Shaw right here on the Backbreaker Media Network. And normally on this show, we have a lot of like local wrestlers. Sometimes we reach out to other parts of Canada. We had some boys from Newfoundland on the show recently. And then we had Brutal Bob Evans from the United States on here. But today we have another wrestler out of the United States. Not only a wrestler, though, a filmmaker. It is, of course, Dirty Ron McDonald. Dirty Ron, how are you doing, brother?
Deuce, what's happening, man? I'm proud to be here on the Monday Night Shaw podcast. Is that, that's the name of it, right?
Yes, sir.
You got that right. Hell yeah, I'm a good listener. Yeah, man, I've been a shitty independent wrestler for going on 20 years now. I'm a shitty independent wrestling promoter for Fist Combat out of San Diego. And now I'm going to be a shitty movie star in a shitty wrestling movie. It's called A Pro Wrestling Movie, The Legend of Dirty Ron. And it's a film made by pro wrestling fans for pro wrestling fans.
Yeah, I saw the trailer for it. I think I was on Bob Evans' webpage and he shared out the trailer for it. And I was immediately like, oh, I really hope that he gets to finish making this and that we get to see it because the trailer is amazing.
Thank you.
No, 100%. Like, it just reminds me, like, I mean, you wrestle, where do you wrestle out of?
I run a promotion in a small little wrestling school out of San Diego, California. The promotion and myself started in St. Louis, Missouri. I started wrestling in April of the year 2000, and I started running my independent wrestling promotion in January of the year 2007. I'm 37 years old, so like wrestling's been my entire life. I've watched every WrestleMania live. My mom was an independent pro wrestler in the late 70s.
Oh, really?
In the St. Louis territory. So like wrestling's in my blood, and you know, and I love it. So you know, being involved with wrestling for nearly my entire life, first as a fan and now on the other side of the curtain, is that, or the other side of the guardrail, I guess I should say, is, you know, I wanted to see what other ways we can take wrestling and show it off to the world to really truly show how incredible entertainers wrestlers are. Because not only do we do comedy, action, drama, stunts, improv, we do all of that at once, with an audience 360 degrees around us in one take. There's not a director saying cut if something doesn't go right, you know, and all while we're not trying to get beer thrown on us. So, you know, like there's a lot that wrestlers have to offer and a lot that they can show with their talents outside of the ring. So it was very important to me that this pro wrestling movie, The Legend of Dirty Ron, not only was a movie showing off how much I love wrestling, but it was also very important to me to hire 20 current and former professional wrestlers, from Rob Van Dam to Katie Forbes, Victoria, former WWE Women's Champion, Effie, Matt Sydal, Mecca Wolf, all the way down the line to current wrestlers that are wrestling on AEW Dark. So, you know, like we've got a full spectrum of wrestlers. And, you know, I think that wrestling fans will enjoy this film. And I think non-wrestling fans will enjoy this film, too.
Yeah, it looks great. Like, it reminded me a lot of, like, some of the RCW shows that I wrestle on out here. Like, very, like, the movie displays, like, you guys are sort of, you join up with a small independent group and whatnot. And it just, like, the whole thing reminded me of what goes on here. It's, like, just a bunch of guys putting together a good show for, like, their friends and family and, you know, whoever else wants to come and watch. Like, the more people, the merrier. But yeah, and you had RVD there. Like, did you pay RVD to be in the movie, like with weed?
No, I paid him with actual U.S. American dollars. Where we were with the film is that we thought that my partner Pablo Romero Estevez, director, co-writer, and friend, when we started this, we had both done independent wrestling for a long time, so we were like, all we got to do is just take some cameras, some lights, set it up, and boom, we'll run a movie. You know, like, how hard could it be? We had a $10,000 to $15,000 budget. We're like, fuck it, you know, like, let's do this thing. And so I put my money into it. And as we started adding more and more people who actually knew how to produce a film, they were like, there's no way you're going to shoot this film in 6 days with a $15,000 budget. So the bill just kept growing and growing and growing. And my $10,000 project quickly became a $50,000 project. I pretty much tapped out most of my entire life savings, and you know, and the film's not done. So trying to go out there, and we're really, you know, trying to get the trailer out there as much as possible. We have a lot of interest from the cannabis industry to sponsor this thing and get it finished. So no matter whether it's through the Indiegogo or whether it's through me going out there and Dirty Ron doing some dirty things, Goose, I'm going to make sure that this film's done.
I can really appreciate that. Like, the, like, just go get it-ness of what you're saying. Like, it's a real, like, close to home type thing. It reminds me a lot of, like, Kevin Smith and Clerks. You know what I mean?
Exactly. Well, that's kind of where we were at with it. We were like, you know, the film people that were involved in this film, you know, like a couple of the producers who have an extensive background in film, they were like, I don't know how I feel about the quality of the film. And I said, look, guys, you guys don't understand professional wrestling. Like, we are, you as wrestling fans, we're used to a very low production value, you know, like, fuck, PWG was just, they had the house lights on and put a curtain over a doorway for their entrance. Like, no lights, no nothing. They had one banner, you know, like, we're not used to a high level of production. I mean, obviously WWE, a multi-billion dollar corporation, they have all the resources to do that. But independent wrestling and independent wrestling fans, they don't expect a $100 million, you know, Hollywood movie budget. And when we put that out and people saw the trailer, wrestling fans saw the trailer, they were like, this production, you know, quality is great. So really what it went from something that we were going to get ready to put on Fight TV, you know, that was just the same quality as independent wrestling, or I threw my entire life savings into this, and now I'm looking to raise the rest of the funds to make a Netflix worthy film. And that's what we're going to do. So that's what we are doing. And you can tell that by the trailer, is that we're not trying to run and gun and have an independent wrestling level quality movie. We're trying to have a Netflix, Hulu, Hollywood ready movie.
Yeah.
And that costs a lot of money.
No kidding. I can think of, have you ever seen the Kayfabe?
Yes.
The movie Kayfabe? It was shot out in like Vancouver. I know a bunch of those wrestlers that are in that movie. And you watch that, and it is like, it's really entertaining. But like you say, it's one of those things where the budget there is clearly like, it's not on the screen. You know what I mean? And when I watched your trailer for your movie, I was like, oh, this actually looks like it's been shot with high definition cameras. And, you know, they're probably doing some pretty good editing on it, you know, playing with like color variation. And like, I'm sure there's all kinds of technical stuff that you and your film partners could get into. But like the money is on the screen there.
Yeah. You know, that's where a lot of the money is spent. It's that, you know, I didn't audition anybody. When I wrote the characters for the film, I pretty much called up all my homies and I was like, hey, Rob, I wrote this character for you. Hey, Effie, I wrote this character for you. You know, like, hey, Victoria, you know, like, we hadn't worked together actually before this film. And, well, no, we were on a few shows together. And so we were familiar with each other. But I was like, hey, I'm shooting this film. I got a spot for you. I think you'd be great for it. And, you know, like, so that was important to me. But, you know, the crew is like where everything got extensive. I mean, like, the lighting that we use was phenomenal. Nothing even close. Like, the best independent wrestling show I've ever been a part of, like, doesn't even come close to the production value. And like, just the small things you don't think of, like, you know, when you gotta shoot reverse angles of everything and relight that. So, you know, to film 5 minutes of film took an entire day, you know, at some points. So, not, you know, kind of coming into this thing, inexperienced, I guess, as best I could say it, and really learning on the job was quite the experience. And, you know, hey, I've taken a lot of chances in my life. So taking chances and not being all the way prepared are something that I'm very familiar with. So we had another case of that here. And, you know, and we're gonna pull this one out, you know.
It does come to mind, like, a lot of times in wrestling, like, there's been times where I go into a match and it's like, okay, what are we doing now? Okay, well, I guess we're just going to have to figure it out when we get out there, you know? Like, that sort of thing happens. Is that what your stage you're at right now with trying to crowdfund and get the rest of the movie made?
You know, yeah. So we knew halfway through filming that with our schedule and budget that we have right now, we weren't going to finish the film. So we were like, all right, what, you know, and this is while we're all, thinking on the fly, you know, like we shot all our days consecutively the first go around. And we're like, you know, what are we going to do here? You know, it's like, all right, well, let's use what we got, see what we can make out of it. And, we're either going to, there's many angles that we went to try to fund this thing. And you know, some of them are working. One is publicly crowdfunding, which we're doing through Indiegogo. And now that we have the trailer and we're busting that around, there's a lot of interest from the cannabis industry. You know, cannabis is, I don't know what the federally legal status of it is up in Canada, but like
100% legal.
It's what?
It's 100% legal. I can go to the store, buy myself a fucking half ounce of marijuana if I want to. And all they're going to ask me for is some ID to make sure that I'm of age.
Yeah, you know, so with it's expanding like that over here in the States as well. So, you know, being somebody that lives in California, one of the reasons I moved to California was for medical marijuana use. And, you know, seeing the way that the cannabis industry has as likened this this trailer so far, you know, we're getting it out there to them. There's a lot of interest there. So that's why I'm very confident that this thing's going to get finished. It's just a matter of coming on the podcast, whether there's 5 or 500,000 people listening, I don't care. I know I'm talking to wrestling fans because that's who I am. That's who this movie's made for wrestling fans, by wrestling fans, you know? So all I know is I just got to keep out there, keep plugging away, keep, you know, hitting up every person I know inside wrestling, just getting them to take a look at this thing, because I know that once people see it, they're going to dig it. I hope. And if they don't, oh well, but like people just need to see it.
I loved it when I saw it. Can you just, for anyone that hasn't seen it, can you just give us a little bit of a description on sort of like a little short outline of the plot or what people can Absolutely. Expect from the movie?
So the character I play as a legit real life independent pro wrestler is Dirty Ron McDonald. So it's just like it's a spin, you know, it's a spoof on the fast food icon. So when I started writing the backstory, I was like, oh, well, like where did Dirty Ron come from? So basically I was a mascot at one of the fast food restaurants because my dad is Big Ronald McDonald, right? I'm the son of the fast food mogul, basically.
Okay.
And I'm a fuck up. I'm doing drugs, fucking whores. I'm very unemployable. And my manager finally gets the okay from my dad to cut me off, fire me, get rid of me. Finally, he gets to get rid of me. So when he fires me, I beat the holy shit out of him. But while I'm kicking his McAss, there's a homeless guy who's watching me do this. Well, the homeless guy is played by Rob Van Dam, and he plays a former world champion wrestler. And he goes, hey, kid, I saw you whooping that dude's ass. Like, I could teach you how to be a wrestler, you know? Like, so it follows a lot of the plot of Rocky, in that Effie, who basically plays, and these are his words, not mine, he basically plays a gay Ric Flair, or a flamboyant Ric Flair, actually, more flamboyant Ric Flair. But those were his words, not mine. And he's beat everybody, and he's looking for a new challenger. So his people find out that the son of the burger guy is becoming a pro wrestler. So they're like, hey, let's give this new dipshit a chance. So Dirty Ron finds himself with his first match ever against the world heavyweight champion.
That's incredible. It sounds really entertaining.
Yeah. Also in the movie though. So since I'm a fast food guy, my roommate, my best friend is like Burger King Jr. I live with a Jack in the Box. I live with a scam burglar. My main love interest is Wendy from Wendy's. So like we get all the fast food references. It's a stoner comedy. You know, like Tommy Chong's going to be making a cameo in it. So like this thing has taken a lot of aspects and, you know, and putting them all together. It's a stoner comedy. It's a wrestling comedy. You know, it's got some nods to the fast food world. So, you know, like, we're hoping that literally anybody can watch this and find something that they enjoy about it.
Yeah, like I say, if you haven't seen the trailer, definitely seek that out. We'll put a link to that in the description for the podcast here, for sure, so people can watch it. You were telling me that Dirty Ron McDonald, that's your actual wrestling name. How long have you been working as Dirty Ron, like, on the independent wrestling scene?
About 4 years. I've been a wrestler. I started wrestling in April of 2000, had my first match in the summer of 2001. And I played many, many different characters. I wrestled on Monday Night Raw once against Braun Strowman.
Oh, really?
I wrestled at Ring of Honor once with tagging with Kikutaro. I played a cow. I played like a wild man. I played all sorts of characters. But it wasn't until I moved down to San Diego in March of 2017 that I had a total rejuvenation for my wrestling career, and when I found Dirty Ron McDonald. I run my wrestling shows that we run out here are 21 and up. We run shows at strip club, pool halls, basically the underbelly of the entertainment industry. We're running all of our shows there. You know, that's what type of people we are. So I was like, what kind of a character would fit in an operation like this? And I was like, well, I kind of look like a shitty Ronald McDonald. And I was like, well, why don't I just call myself Dirty Ron McDonald? So there's a lot of play on word, you know, puns, like burger puns, like, oh, you know, when a guy hits me in the ribs, I'm like, oh, my McRibs, you know, like, you know, so I do a bunch of stupid shit like that. And I found it to connect with people. Like, people are like, oh, this shit's dope. Like, you know, like I go out there and fucking get the crowd all hyped up, you know, like, I got a couple catchphrases that people dig, you know, and like it speaks to people. So like I finally found a character that like spoke to people and sold merchandise and got me booked.
100%. I can really appreciate that, because like there's a lot of people like I'm you know, I meet a lot of like even like guys that are like new to wrestling, like even I'm fairly new, but there's a lot of other wrestlers that I know that like they'll come out of like Lance Storm school or whatnot, and their gimmick is, oh, they're, you know, their first name and their last name, and they're a good wrestler, and that's their like their character. And it's, I don't want to say like I don't want to bury anyone or anything, but it's just like it doesn't give anyone anything to latch on to. You got to be like fucking amazing if you want your gimmick to be you're a good wrestler, you know what I mean?
You know, if you're a good wrestler, why don't you be a good fighter and go fight, you know, go fight mixed martial arts, you know, if like that's just the way I view wrestling. Like, wrestling to me is a manipulation of emotions. Wrestling to me is fighting, but theatrically, you know, like wrestling is a dramatized version of actually fighting. So like, what's the point in going out? Like, it's cool to like that. That's a part of it. Like the, you know, catch as catch can style wrestling, like that's important, that's important to be part of the show. But like, look at the history of wrestling, look at the history of fighting, look at the history of entertainment. It's the people that go out there and they're a little bit, maybe they're a little bit off, but they're definitely flamboyant and they connect with people. Let's talk about fighters. Who are the biggest money-making fighters in the history of the game? Mike Tyson, Conor McGregor, Floyd Mayweather. What did all three of those guys, Muhammad Ali, what did all four of those guys have in common? They knew how to cut a promo. They knew how to manipulate emotions, right? So, yeah, Muhammad Ali, like, you know, Cassius Clay, that is his name. But, like, float like a butterfly, sting like a bee, that's his gimmick. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's what connects with people. Money Mayweather, you know, like, that's what connects with people. People want to see that guy get his fucking ass beat, you know? Chael Sonnen did a great job of that inside UFC, like, talking his way into championship fights that he didn't deserve. So, like, if you're going to be a real fighter, I get being, you know, respectful and, you know, like just going by your name and not having a nickname and a moniker or whatever, and not coming out in some fancy frilly fucking jacket. But this is pro wrestling. Like, why wouldn't you fucking, you know, amp everything up to 11? You know, like, why wouldn't you be more flamboyant? You know, like, why? Or just, like, be more of a character, you know? Like, manipulate emotions, get somebody to feel something, to like you or to hate you. Like, that's what wrestling's all about. It's good versus evil. You know, like, Jesus would not have been such a good baby face if he didn't have the devil healing him up and putting the heat on him. You know, like there needs to be a good and a bad guy. And people these days, they're just scared to like be a bad guy because they might get canceled for saying something off color.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I totally like understand where you're coming from. Like, I mean, I obviously like I wrestle as the Canadian Goose and I wear fucking feathers in the ring, you know, like it's a lot of fun. And it's, you know, one of the things that I put a lot of thought into, coming up with a character and a gimmick, you know,
to be totally fair. You can't have a complete show with a bunch of Canadian geese on there, you know, like,
no,
but
no.
You fit a role the same way that Dirty Ron fits a role, you know, like on the shows that I promote and the shows that I produce, there's a little bit of everything, just like in the film, you know, like I want my goal. Actually, let me back up. What got me inspired to run wrestling the way that I do now is every time I bring up wrestling to somebody, some regular person, you know, non-wrestling fan, they all of them say the same shit. They always say, I used to like wrestling back when blank, back yeah. when this, back when that. And I'm like, all right, well, why don't you like it now? They're like, well, because it's boring. And I'm like, all right, well, why don't I just make wrestling for people that used to like wrestling? So, you know, to connect with people like that, you know, like you got to make it, you got to give them a show that anybody can watch your show and find something that they like about it, right? The common Joe on the street, I can give them a free ticket to one of my shows and they're going to come back and buy another one. You know why? Because I put on a show for the common person to be able to go, hey, I like this wrestling because of that, because of Dirty Rod, because of Slice Boogie, because of the Lucha Daddies, because of the Straight Edge Street King Eddie Eastlass. You know what I'm saying? Like, because of Fruit of the Doom, you know, like because of, you know, Tyrannosaurus Flex, you know, like because of like whatever, like the Wolf Zaddies, you know what I'm saying? Like, because of characters, because of somebody that connected with you, somebody that manipulated your emotions enough to connect with you in a way that you'll never forget.
I think that's 100% like what it's all about, for sure. Just talking about being a promoter, like I know I've had a couple of other promoters on the show here. I had a fellow from Newfoundland, and I've had, of course, Squig, the fellow that I wrestle for. And I've had, you know, a couple of other promoters. And promoting is like a very stressful job that has a lot of responsibility. Can you talk about how you cope with that and whatnot?
It's a thankless job. You're always wrong. You're always an asshole. You're always the bad guy. You know, like, let me give you a, for instance, my wife and I were watching Ready to Rumble. Okay.
Okay.
And the promoter in that movie in Ready to Rumble is like supposed to be the bad guy. Right. And I'm like, I'm watching the movie and I'm like, how is this guy a bad guy? He's got this fat, out-of-shape champion who doesn't want to drop the title. This guy's trying to put on a fucking show and get everybody paid. And he's an asshole for that? Like, what? You know, like, the whole movie's ass backwards, if you ask me. That fat, out-of-shape Jimmy the King or whatever should have fucking got his fat ass off the fucking championship role, gave it to somebody who could have been worth a shit as a champion, and maybe they wouldn't fucking have to have some fucking ass backwards bumfuck idiot as their fucking champ. You know what I'm saying? Like, the promoter's the good guy there, you know? Like, so asking me about promoting, it's like, hey man, these guys, okay, so not only do I wrestle on my own shows, right, my wife makes the flyers, I produce and do the voiceovers for our weekly episodes of Get Fisted TV, my wife and I physically hang up posters, you know what I'm saying? We personally invite and direct message our fans, you know, hey, are you coming to this show? You know what I'm saying? Like, oh, yeah. Hey, did you see this week's episode of Get Fisted TV? You're like, we put out a weekly newsletter. And when I say we, it's her and I, you know, I've just taken on adding another guy to our crew who actually like does shit and helps produce. And so like our production level has jumped up even higher since adding him to the crew. So, you know, like it's a thankless job. And the worst part about it is, at the end of the day, when you put all this time, all this energy, and then wrestled on the show, sometimes literally bleeding, blood, sweat, and tears, and then you're losing money at the end of the day. So not only did I not get paid like every wrestler that was on the show, I paid money to be here and do all this shit and work 100 times as many hours as the guy that came in and worked a 20-minute match. Now, you know, am I bitter? No, I know what I signed up for. I fucking love it, you know, because there are those days where you take a big fat chunk of change home. But that's not what it's for. Promoting, to me, the gift that promoting gives to me is to be able to create a show for an audience that didn't know they liked wrestling, you know, is to be able to create new fans, is to be able to make lasting memories. Some guy told me today, it's on my Instagram story right now. He said, when my kids, there's a revolution going on in San Diego right now. When my kids play with their action figures, Doink the Clown isn't Doink the Clown. It's Dirty Ron McDonald. And I was like, Dan, that is the coolest fucking thing I'm going to read all week. Like, thank you so much for sharing that, you know? And it's making lasting memories like that are important to me. You know, it's like somebody that sees me walking down the street and they're like, oh shit, you're Dirty Ron McDonald. I was there that time you jumped off that fucking thing and threw that guy through a flaming table or some shit. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, that is the most amazing shit ever. And that'll never get lost on me. I don't care if I make 100 movies. If anybody ever was inspired by anything I ever did or created, then fucking that there is no monetary value I can put on that. There is no other thing that can equate to that. Making lasting memories and entertaining people is the most rewarding thing ever. So I love promoting and I love performing.
Solid. Do you think that your experience as a promoter and whatnot has helped you in the making of the film?
Without a doubt. Let me tell you, the first show I put on, I was 24 years old in January 2007. I was the most fucking, like, oh man, I was a fucking prick. Nobody wanted to be around me. I was the worst person to be around because I didn't know how to get people to do what I needed them to do. Without, let me put it this way. I learned everything the hard way. You know, I learned from all my mistakes, but that's fine. You can learn from your mistakes. It's okay to make mistakes. It's okay to fail, right? It's okay, but you look at your failures and you learn from them. Yeah, did we make this film and we go way over budget? Absolutely. Are we gonna finish this thing? Goddamn right. But that's because, yeah, I failed the first time I did it, but it's not a failure until you quit. And I ain't gonna ever quit. So, what did promoting do to get me to learn on this movie? Starting from day one, starting from 14 years ago, the first Fist Combat show I ran, to today, every relationship that I've made, every person that I've worked with, every time that I've made a mistake and learned from that, like, that got me ready for this. That got me ready for that big letdown when I didn't get that film done the first time, the first way that I planned. And that's fine. Nobody's first plan ever works. It's the one that works, you know? And you're going to have to keep plugging away. You're going to have to quit saying shit like, I did the best that I can, because if it didn't get completed, well, then it ain't fucking over. So, you know, what did promoting do to get me ready for this wrestling trip, a pro wrestling movie? It got me ready to accept failure and to accept, my mistakes, but never accept defeat. So everything that I've done up until this point has gotten me ready for this. I believe that every relationship that I've made, every impression that I made on every cast and crew member that believed in this so much that they put their time and their energy, whether they were getting paid their normal rate or not, you know, like that just wasn't any sort of truth right there. They weren't. Like, people came together on this project for something that Paolo and I created. So, you know, being able to work with people and being able to manage people and manage my own insecurities, faults, and failures, that, you know, that's an ongoing struggle. That's an ongoing project, and I'm learning from it every day.
Yeah, I think that's like a thing for everyone. Like, that's just like good advice in general, is keep pushing away at it. Don't give up, you know?
I mean, as much as people want to shit on John Cena, a.k.a. the greatest WWE wrestler of all time, hands down, he said never give up, you know? Like, and even though he's kind of a cheese dick or whatever, like, I am a humongous John Cena fan as a person. As a wrestler, too, of course. But, you know, like, don't give up. You know, there's a lot to learn from wrestling and wrestlers. Look at WWE when they were getting kicked in the dick by WCW, and you know, in the mid 90s, they were like, hell no. They regrouped, they replanned, they reshuffled, and they got out there and went back and kicked ass, you know. And I've learned a lot from professional wrestling. I've learned a lot, you know, as a promoter, I've learned a lot as a wrestler, I've learned a lot now getting into the film industry.
Right on, brother. You mentioned earlier that you ended up wrestling against Braun Strowman on an episode of Monday Night Raw. Can you just describe like how that went down and what it felt like when you actually got there and you're standing in the ring? I'm assuming this is before the COVID thing and there was no fans, but like, can you just like describe what was going through your head that day?
Yeah. October 10th, 2016. Not like I remember that date. But it was a 2-on-1. Whenever they come around town, they use a lot of local independent wrestlers as extras, you know, as EMTs or, you know, whatever. But at this point in 2016, they were using local guys to put over their big up-and-coming stars. And I got the opportunity to wrestle in a 2-on-1 against Braun Strowman. He is the biggest, baddest motherfucker I've ever met in my entire life. I've never been hit harder by a human. You know, and not in a bad way. I mean, he's just that big, like, you know, like,
oh yeah,
I wrestle big guys, you know, but like, dude, he's the biggest. Like, he towers over Taker, he towers over Brock. Like, that is the biggest man I've ever seen in my entire life. But the coolest thing, okay, so I got to do a promo actually on Raw where they give, you know, they don't usually give the indie jobber guys the microphone, but at this time they did. So I got to pop the crowd, fucking, you know, say a couple lines. They gave me a script, you know, I said it word for word. But they told me, they go, Vince McMahon hates it when wrestlers look into the camera, right? He said, do not look in the camera. So Goose, you know what the fuck I did?
Look directly into the camera?
I looked directly into the camera with those fucking Hulk Hogan cocaine eyes, right? Those Macho Man cocaine eyes where you can see all the white around my pupils, dog. So, like, I'm cutting this promo. It was fucking pretty rad. But afterwards, you know, I said my thank yous, whatever, walked through gorilla position where Vince and, you know, everybody is at, you know, Triple H, everybody. You know, I was like, oh, thank you. That was so much fun, whatever. You know, I just tried to keep to my business. So I go and I get a bottle of water where all the extras are, and then I come back by the curtain where all the wrestlers are watching around the screen. So as I'm coming, I see Vince McMahon down the hallway walking in my direction. And there's like 40 people in between us. And I'm like, fuck yes. This is awesome. I'm going to stop. And he's going to walk right by me and I'm going to say something, right? So I'm like thinking to myself for a minute. I'm like, oh, you know, I wonder how close he is. So that I look up, you know, because I'm trying to like play coy or whatever. I look up and here he is halfway down the hallway, Goose. But check this out. He is looking at me dead in my fucking eyes. And I'm like, oh, fuck. Like, oh, shit. What did I do? I fucked up. Oh my God, I can't leave. I can't go backwards. Can't go forward. There's no door. How am I getting out of here? Vince McMahon is staring me down right now and I have nowhere to go. What the fuck? And then by the time I'm done thinking that, felt like an hour. It was probably like 5 seconds. I look up and this 25 foot tall man named Vince McMahon is standing right there, right? Goose, I tell you, he was no shorter than 37 feet, and he's looking at me, right? And I'm looking at him, and he's looking at me, and I'm looking at him, and he's looking at me, and I'm looking at him, and he's looking at me, and I'm looking at him, dead in our eyes, right?
Yeah.
It might have been a whole day. I don't know. It might have been 2 seconds. I'm not sure. But then he says to me, he said, you did a great job tonight, son. Thank you so much. You did a great job. I really appreciate you. You did a stand-up job tonight. And I was like, oh, my God. And I don't even know what I said, right? And I walk on, and I'm like, this is the greatest night ever. I get to the TV, and standing right behind me is Stephanie McMahon. He taps me on the shoulder. I turn around, and she said, thank you very much. We really appreciate you guys, you know, for coming here and, you know, doing that. You did a great job out there and all this stuff. And I tell you what, Goose, that there will never be a cooler, better day for me ever in my entire life. two of my Mount Rushmore, four of the greatest minds in wrestling history, being that of Vince, Stephanie, Triple H, and Paul Heyman. Two of the four of those came out of their way to tell me I did a great job on the biggest stage I will ever wrestle on, and I will never get a better compliment.
Yeah, no, it sounds like your interaction with Vince McMahon might have been more nerve-wracking to you than your actual, like, match.
Without a doubt. Without a doubt. It was weird because, there was 18,000 people at the Oracle in Oakland, and when I went through the curtain, and if the place is fucking sold out, right, like, I just took a breath, and, you know, it's the same thing that happens to me every time I go through the curtain, right? Like, I'm a little anxious, although I was a little bit more than usual anxious on this one. But as soon as I go through that curtain, that anxiety, like, turns into fuel, and, like, and I'm powered by it, you know? Like, it's like a fucking shot of adrenaline straight up your dick hole, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's like, bam, I'm fucking ready to go.
I definitely can relate to that. There's been a lot of times where I go out there and I'm like, oh, what's, like, you know, like, we've talked about the match and I know what's supposed to happen, but, like, what's actually going to happen? How's this going to go? Is this other guy going to be, like, cool, or is he going to beat the shit out of me? Like, what are we going to be doing here? And, you know, you use it as fuel. And like you say, like, it's, you walk, once you walk through the curtain, it's time to go to work, you know?
It's time to step it up. And I'm sure, you know, it's that shot of adrenaline. And, like, I don't know, like, I like to connect with people. I like to look at people into their face. You know, I want to look right into your soul hole, your eyes, man. You know what I'm saying? Like, I want to connect with people, you know? So, like, when I go out there, you know, like, I mean, obviously not now, back in the day, high-fiving everybody, fucking, you know, jamming with people, fucking crushing beers. You know what I'm saying? Like, let's have a good time. You know, we're not here for a long time, Goose. We're here for a good time. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, 100%. I remember when we first, I've been very fortunate over the pandemic here, over COVID. Like, pretty much we had to shut down for, like, a couple of months, but then we were able to resume doing shows with, like, limited capacity. First it was, like, only 100 fans allowed in, and then it was, like, only 50 fans allowed in, but we got to run shows, like, every week, you know. And we wrestled on every Friday and every Saturday, and it was pretty awesome. But, like, I remember one of the first shows, it was like, I got pulled aside by the promoter's wife and was like, hey, you can't go out there and high five people, Kyle. Like, I was like, oh, sorry. Like, you know, you don't even realize that's what you're doing,
right? You know, it's like, it's a second nature, you know, it's muscle memory.
Can you just talk a little bit, like, has the pandemic affected your wrestling promotion and the making of the film at all?
The film, definitely. The promotion. So we were the first company in the United States, I know for sure, to run a live wrestling show with a live audience after the pandemic. It was on May 16th. We did a drive-in wrestling show where people pulled up, tuned into the radio station, because we had one of those, like, transistor things or whatever, and it shot out the commentary, so you could hear the commentary over your radio while you watched wrestling from your car. And we did five of those before the city of San Diego was like, eh. So, you know, we've been finding innovative ways to do shows, even though, like, live entertainment's been shut down in California. We've still kind of been doing our small little underground thing. So, you know, I don't know, I guess we're kind of rebels in that sense, but it did kind of fuck up our filming, as far as, like, when we were going to come around and shoot the rest of this film. But, you know, when we hit the hiccups with the funding, you know, where we're at right now, you know, so we have the Indiegogo out there, we hit the hiccups, and then we were like, all right, well, you know, perfect timing. So, you know, now we got to raise the rest of these funds, get out there, finish the film, and then take it all around the country, showing it off.
Right on, brother. I just was wondering, like, you must have had to buy a lot of, like, lights and cameras and that kind of stuff to make the film. Have you been able to, like, also use that for your wrestling shows?
No. So, you know, this was one of the benefits of getting, very experienced crew members on board with this film is that they come with their own stuff. Is that when I'm paying these big dollars for for some legit Hollywood type lighting guys, director of photography, assistant directors, and those type of roles, there's a standard of professionalism that comes with that, and equipment. So using those guys and not having our own studio really came in handy, because they came with everything. So it was all inclusive price. But that's why we went from a $10,000 project to now it's going to be a $100,000 project. And that's where a lot of that money goes. Is equipment, crew, is time of like Hollywood professionals. That we basically shot 6 days and came up with that 3-minute trailer. There's a lot more. We're about halfway done with the movie, but we only have 3 minutes of a story right now, it takes a lot. And coming in here inexperienced, myself and Pablo, in making a film of this quality and this magnitude, we're experiencing growing pains, but we're getting through them. We have a very positive outlook on this. We've had a lot of interest from the cannabis industry since our trailer's been out. So, I'm very confident that we're going to finish this thing, get it out, and then take it out. You're not going to be able to stream it. You're not going to be able to see it in theaters. We are going to take it from town to town to town and showing the movie off. Some of the stars of the film, some of the comedians, they'll be coming with me, and we'll be taking this thing on tour.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's interesting. That again reminds me of the Kevin Smith. Some of my friends went to watch the Jay and Silent Bob rebooted thing when it came to town here. And you go there and you watch the movie, and then afterwards, Kevin Smith did a podcast or a big Q&A session. And so that's the sort of thing that you guys are going to be doing, like a traveling roadshow type thing?
Absolutely. Kevin Smith was an inspiration in many ways. That being one of them, I've had my eye on this project for, a number of years now. I was really case studying, how are these guys making money if they're streaming their shit on Netflix or Hulu or Amazon Prime or something like that? And the answer is they're not. With piracy and with the amount of content that's out there on these streaming services, the residuals that you get back from that are very minuscule. So I was like, well, if I plan to make any sort of good money off of this, I'm going to have to do all the work myself, which I'm accustomed to doing that shit. I've set up tours. I was Afro Man's tour manager and opening act for a number of years. I'm very familiar with cold calling venues and taking an operation across the country. So what we're going to be doing here is very unique as well. We'll be teaming up with independent wrestling promotions all over the country to co-promote events and screenings for this film. So, when we go to St. Louis, there's a number of wrestling promotions I work with out there. That's my hometown. We'll be working with them to show the film. Maybe if we come up your neck of the woods up there, up in Canada, we could work with you guys to screen the film up there. This movie is for wrestling fans by wrestling fans. I know I've said that a couple times, yeah, but that's what it is. We are going to tap into the veins of independent wrestling promotions all around the country to come out and give them another opportunity to entertain their fans with pro wrestling content. On the back end, we plan on including those wrestling promotions in our future films. So, it's a win-win for everybody. It's a win-win for wrestling, and it gets to show off the form of entertainment that I love best.
That's incredibly solid. So, are you guys going to, maybe once the movie's over and you've done the Q&A, maybe Dirty Ron comes out and wrestles a guy or something? They have a ring at these shows? And
that's definitely something that could happen. I'm not, when I thought about it, I wrestled on a number of ICP's Juggalo Championship Wrestling
events.
And that and being around IWA Mid-South when their shows were 5 hours long,
oh boy,
I'm very conscious of keeping my shows or whatever to like two and a half hours, like, you know, with my live wrestling shows and events like that. So I don't know if I want to overload it and be wrestling almost every night, but Dirty Ron will definitely be in the house. I'll probably be knocking some beers back and throwing some elbows at a couple people, but you know, we plan a very interactive experience. We'll be taking memorabilia from on set around the country with us, or hopefully maybe up to your country too, to screen this thing, you know. So it's going to be, you're going to have a full experience, you know, like, it's going to be quite interesting.
Have you ever wrestled in Canada?
I have not.
Oh, okay.
I've heard it's hard for people with backgrounds like me to get up there. I haven't been such a good boy down here, you know?
Yeah, that's fair. We had the ICP came to Calgary and they did a show here and a bunch of my friends were on the show. It was pretty cool.
Oh, really? Nice.
The guy that one of my trainers, Michael Richard Blaze, he actually wrestled Braun Strowman in a match on Raw too. It was like a 5-on-1 match or something. So
yeah, that was right around the time that I did it.
Yeah, and then what's his name? Ellsworth. He did the same thing, and he ended up getting like a job out of it. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, and then he ended up doing some other things too, I heard.
Oh yeah, I did hear that he was maybe not such a great character.
Who knows?
I didn't hear.
Allegedly,
he was supposed to. My promoter had booked him for a show before the pandemic shut everything down, but he never ended up coming because of the pandemic. So maybe that's not such a great loss after all.
Ha ha! Hide your wife. Hide your kids.
Is there any like films that have like that you look for like inspiration when you're watching this? Is there any like other movies that you've been like scouting and being like, oh, this is a great element of this film that I like? I mean, you already mentioned that it's sort of like Rocky and a stoner movie. Is there anything else sort of parallels that?
You know, I guess, you know, I'm not really sure beyond the Rocky thing, but I do know this is that when we shot the film, it was, you know, an idea of mine, and it worked out really well, is to, when we have so many creative minds here working on this project and people, honestly, that I trust creatively, is that, you know, we took a take where we kind of followed the script. And then we would take a couple takes where we kind of improvised it, and, you know, and felt it out a little bit, and, you know, and explored and had a lot of fun with it. So, you know, like the ability to work with creative people that all came, they all came to the table with something. They all came and, like, you know, were just like forthcoming with ideas when, and you see, and they did it in a proper form, you know, in a very respectful way. You know, like, they didn't just come like shitting off ideas. You know, there was like, hey, you know, what do you think about this? And then they, like, that's what was awesome to me, is that when I asked them, and I, you know, some things they're just told to you and you're given a script and said, here, do this. Like, when I did my promo on Raw, yeah, it was a script. I had to follow the script word for word. You know, I couldn't go off the script or I would have got yelled at, or, you know, not paid or whatever. So, you know, like, to give these creative people creative freedom to do that stuff was quite amazing, and we got some really amazing stuff out of it. You know, everybody came ready to work. You know, everybody came and stayed longer than they needed to, or not longer than they need, like as long as we needed them to. You know, like some days went way longer than the 8 hours they were supposed to. But, you know, like, everybody came ready to work, and that was quite incredible.
You mentioned improv. Do you have like a background in improv?
I've been a pro wrestler for a little over 20 years off and on, so I'd say yes.
Yeah, that's interesting to me, because, I mean, I've only been wrestling for a couple of years, but definitely, like, when I was younger, I did a lot of improv, and I found that it has been incredibly helpful towards my wrestling career, because, like, there's a lot of times where you just have to, you know, be quick on your feet and quick in your head and come up with something right there on the fly, and I've found that improv is an invaluable skill in professional wrestling.
Without a doubt. I started stand-up comedy for real about 7 years ago. Being that, you know, I was, before the pandemic, I was on stage 6 to 12 times every week, you know, out there grinding, every night that I wasn't, you know, wrestling. So, you know, like building your skills and adding more skills as you become a better entertainer, like from all aspects. My cousin and I had a comedy rock duo similar to Tenacious D that we took on the road for a hot minute, you know, so I've just been adding all different aspects of entertainment to my repertoire for decades now. So, you know, like improv, you know, that's something that wrestlers should, you know, take a look at. Just trying to do stand-up comedy is a skill that you should have. Thinking quick on your feet. Entertaining strangers is something that, you know, I learned to do while doing stand-up comedy. And that's really helped affect how I connect with an audience, no matter where I'm at. Because honestly, there's a different audience at a festival than there is at like a Canadian show or like a PWG or Ring of Honor. Ring of Honor is different from Game Changer Wrestling, you know. Like, and you got to understand that you can't perform the same to different audiences. You have to understand your audience and give the audience the show that they want to get, not necessarily the show that you want to give. I hope that makes sense.
It makes total sense. I mean, I've been on some shows where it's like, wait, you know, this is a family show, right? Like, there's children here. you know, we had one wrestler come on the show. It was Jason the Terrible, and he wrestled the Slammer, and I guess the Slammer stiffed him on something, and Jason went off. Like, he went crazy, and he was bleeding all over the place, and there was little kids there, and the police ended up getting calls like, this is just not the place for this, man. Like, I can appreciate that you want everybody to know you're hardcore, but yeah, no, 100%. Like, there is definitely a time and a place, and you got to cater to your audience, for sure.
Without a doubt. You have to understand your audience, you know, and sometimes, and that's why it's very important to do some research on your audience before you're there, whether you've wrestled in that town before or whether you're the third match. Then you can watch two matches and see how they're reacting to stuff, you know, and then be able to call things differently. You know, it's like, it's all about connecting with the audience, whether it's in a film, whether it's on stage doing rock music or in a wrestling ring performing in it with a Shakespearean audience 360 degrees around you, you know. You got to understand your audience. So, you know, that's the only way you're going to ever evolve as an entertainer.
100%. We've been breezing by here, and we are sort of coming up on the hour. So I've got one more question to you, because you mentioned earlier that you were in a band, a comedy band, and that you were doing some work with Afro Man. I'm just wondering, is that going to be supplying any of the soundtrack for your movie? Like, who are some of the musical acts that we can expect to hear over top of the film?
So I've been working with a lot of San Diego musicians. I'm sure I'll be hitting up some St. Louis musicians too before the film's done. But we've got some great songs by some independent artists out here. I know my boy Sloat Dixon is a rapper. Black Hesher, another rapper. We got a couple songs from them. My buddy Roland's band, the Yucks. They're like a metal band. We got some songs from them. You know, and I wrote a couple parody songs. I don't want to ruin it for you because some of them are, I think, will give you a chuckle. But, it's all about putting my friends on, you know, like that was very important to me. Like, call all the homies. I don't know if I said this earlier or not, but I didn't audition anybody. When I wrote the roles, I called up people and I was like, hey, I wrote a role for you. You know, like I made this for you. You know, and that was important to me to put all the homies on. You know, like, oh, hey, you got a clothing brand? Let me wear one of your shirts in the thing. Oh, you got a weed festival, or, you know, you got a joint company? Let me use your shit in the film. You know, like, let me put all my friends on. You know, so that was really important to me. You know, is that, hey, man, music, I know people that do that. Put the spotlight on them. You know, wrestlers, they might not be getting, you know, the rub that they think, hey, man, I'm going to throw you in the movie. And, you know, maybe you might get booked more. Or, hey, you just have something cool to show off that you were a part of. You know, creating a team is very important to me. Inside my wrestling school, here with the film, with my wrestling promotion, I got married last July. You know, the relationships and the team building is very important. And, you know, even though you're going to go through rocky roads, you know, and shit might not be sunshine and daisies every day. There are sunshine and daisies somewhere down that path, you know, and enjoy them when you got them and work for them when you don't.
That's good, good stuff. Dirty Ron, why don't you give our listeners your social media information so that they can find you on the social media, follow along, and, you know, donate some money to the cause.
Very easy to find me at Dirty Ron McDonald on all social media, at A Pro Wrestling Movie on all social media. Pro Wrestling Movie. A Pro Wrestling Movie. It's not pro wrestling. It's A Pro Wrestling Movie. The Legend of Dirty Ron. So really like easy to find us.
R-A-S-S-I-N-G. That's wrestling?
Wrestling. P-R-O-A-P-R-O-R-A-S-S-L-I-N-M-O-V-I-E. A Pro Wrestling Movie. We have the website, too. AProWrestlingMovie.com. You can search hashtag Dirty Ron Movie. Hashtag RVD Movie. You can search hashtag Pro Wrestling Movie. Hashtag wrestling movie. Very easy to find us all over the web because of Google and all those crazy aliens and all that technology they be making. You know what I'm saying?
100%, brother. If people want to come to your wrestling school and train there, is there any information you have about that?
Don't. No, I'm just kidding. down here in San Diego, you know, the way that we approach our wrestling school is different from anything I've witnessed before. We're training the weekend warrior, you know, we're training guys. We're not necessarily training all the next WWE superstars or bust. A lot of wrestling schools I've been a part of or seen, they're like, all right, well, if you're not WWE quality, we're just going to take you for a bunch of money and make you quit within a couple months. And that's no fun. So, you know, like what we're doing is we're making people that, you know, some of our guys will go on to other places. They will. They're very talented. But not everybody will. And there's room for those people, too, inside wrestling. So we have six-month programs down here to get people learn how to lock up, tie up, all that stuff, you know, basic wrestling maneuvers, and get them ready to wrestle matches. We just had our first six-month class graduate and move on from beginner to intermediate. So, you know, I'm very proud of my students and what they've accomplished. I'm proud of our staff and the way that we approach wrestling. With a mentality that we can turn people into athletes and athletes into wrestlers.
Awesome possum, man. Well, I'm going to say thank you very much for coming on the show here. It's been a pleasure. And if you folks haven't seen that movie trailer, check it out because it looks hysterical. I really, really, really can't wait for you to see this thing. I'm hoping that everything comes together the way you want it to, and that you're able to put on film the movie you want to put on film.
Thanks, Goose, man. You know, and hey, every share counts. You know, we have some cool perks on our Indiegogo. It started $10. You know, let's check those things out. You know, they go from $10 to $25,000. So if any big ballers out there just, you know, that are just like looking to spend money, no. They start at $10, and, you know, every donation, every share, every, you know, like, every subscribe, all that stuff, all those things count, every single one. So, you know, I'm going on every podcast that will have me to talk about A Pro Wrestling Movie, The Legend of Dirty Ron.
Well, thank you very much for coming on my podcast, and hopefully we'll get to talk again sometime down the road.
Goose, I can't wait to come up there to your neck of the woods to premiere this thing. We get to meet in person.
Yeah, that sounds like a lot of fun.
All right, dude. Well, hey, thank you so much for your time. Thank you to all the people that listened all the way through to this thing. I can't wait to keep putting on movies and entertaining people until the day that I'm not breathing. So thanks for your time doing this, man. I sincerely appreciate it.
Okie dokie. And the pleasure was all mine. And once again, thank you.
All right, Goose, take it easy, man. Peace.
All righty. Peace out, brother. Nova Scotia and the Brunswick. Quebec and Newfoundland.